Ladies and gentlemen, live from the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California, Ring Talk, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Ring Talk on Sports Byline is brought to you by the World Boxing Organization and ringtalk.com.
You having any of it?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in history. Ladies and gentlemen, Pedro Fernandez.
Threw everything I had at this man. He took it. He weathered the storm. He would be out, jump back, and after about 7 or 8 rounds, he was hitting on me. And it was probably the shock of my life to be knocked down in the 8th round by Muhammad Ali.
The great George Foreman, the front that he is. Of course, the nice guy on the outside, the same guy that got a German Shepherd dog to jump off a 9th-story balcony. Actually, yeah, it was a balcony of a hotel, just to show that he could do it, just to show he was controlled. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you happen to be listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yes, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also the reigning, defending, often imitated but never duplicated heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves, folks, having defended that title now for better than 27 years. Today, we're going to have a great time. We're going to bring in the Count, Michael Bisping, probably one of the most arrogant. I call him arrogant. Some people call him cocky. Maybe arrogant and cocky is the word for it. Maybe it's just self-confident. But he's from the U.K. He fights out of the U.K., now living in Orange County, I believe. But he is a ranking UFC fighter. We'll talk with him. Of course, he's got an upcoming fight in the next few weeks. So lots of UFC stuff to talk about today. In fact, the majority of today's show will be about the UFC. And, of course, UFC on Fox last night. I'll talk to you about that in just a few minutes. But straight up, boxing, amateur boxing, the Olympics, it sucks. Why does it suck? I'll go into the reasons behind that as well. There is no reason why a country that has 350 million people cannot get more than one medalist, if it even got that, in the world of boxing. It's a shame. It's a blight to the country, and it's a blatant indication of the shortcomings of the amateur program here in the United States of America. We do have open phone lines you want to wrap. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. We're also doing the Twitter thing, twitter.com, using the hash mark Ring Talk. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
And now, this special sports break.
Welcome to the 100-yard dash. And they're off and setting a blazing pace. And could it, yes, it is a world record. Let's follow the champion as he heads down to the podium for the awarding of the medals. And he's past the podium, grabbing his gold medal along the way. It looks like he's heading directly to a person in the crowd. He's walking up to a man who just popped the top of a Mao Tai beer. And he's giving the man his gold medal and taking the Mao Tai. Please get somebody down there to find out what he's doing.
This is Graydon Basil down on the track with our winner. The world is all wondering why you passed the medal ceremony to exchange your gold for a Mao Tai.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it, mate? A gold is a gold, but a Mao Tai is a dynasty.
Taste the dynasty. MaoTaiUSA.com. Proud sponsor of Impact Syndicate and Team Mao Tai. Please drink responsibly.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical, and some may not qualify. The consultation is free, and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
This family is at home.
but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that?
But it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312.
Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. Like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked down. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
My buddy Earthquake doing his HBO special on the late Roy Jones. No, he's not dead, but as a boxer, he may as well be. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. We'll cover the world of boxing real quick, then we're going to jump into the world of MMA with Michael Bisping, probably about 20, 25 minutes past the hour. Of course, this is the Sunday edition, and we air at 11 a.m. Pacific time right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The two-hour edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, boxing and MMA, airs on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, you can catch all these shows live on delayed broadcast via the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, or you can go to the podcast at ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. Well, folks, I got to tell you, I'm disgusted with the amateur program here in the United States as far as boxing is concerned, and I was an integral part of that amateur program for so long. For 19 years off and on, I boxed amateur, okay? Had 57 fights, did pretty well, won 7 championships, 4 Golden Glove titles, the USPAL title. The bottom line is I'm not trying to brag or boast. I'm just trying to tell you that I have a resume. I have a background in amateur boxing. And now when I look at the amateur boxing scene here in the United States and I realize that we can't get anybody decent to go to the Olympics, we can't beat guys from Uzbekistan and Europe and Russia and China and Korea and things like that, and we can't beat these other countries. Some are third world countries, and I'm wondering why. I mean, we have 350 million people here. We have the most advanced technology as far as training athletes is concerned. There's no question about that. We have the Olympic Training Center, SICK, down there in Colorado Springs. Of course, that's where I lost the decision in the Western Olympic trials back in, well, we won't mention what year it was because that'll show you how old I am. But the bottom line is Vincent Webb beat on me like a drum for 3 rounds. And it was a split decision. I think it was 4-1, but he deserved that one 5-0. Vernon beat me clearly. Of course, Vincent went on to be a Kronk fighter with Emmanuel Story. Went 11-1, I believe, or 9-1. He lost his last fight and retired. But the bottom line was, you know, I had reached the pinnacle as far as I was concerned. I mean, I, you know, the 4 Golden Glove titles, the fact that I had reached a level I didn't think I could really reach. My dream was to win the Golden Gloves once. Not 4 times, just once. But today, amateur boxers here in the United States, they're at an economic disadvantage. What I mean by that is they don't have the money to go to the gym. It costs $100 a month to go to Gleason's gym in New York City. It costs $100 a month to go to the 3rd Street gym in San Francisco. Okay, $100. Where is a kid from the hood going to get $100 a month just for gym dues? I mean, school comes first. You know, you've got to buy peaches and binders and pens and papers and things like that. I mean, if you want to get by in high school and junior high school, how the heck, heck is a small word, that's not the word I really want to use, but how can you afford $100 a month for a gym? Now, Jimmy Ford out there in Brisbane, California, has got a gym going, and I believe poor kids don't have to pay, and he's charging adults $50 and things like that. So Jimmy's on the right direction. He's going in the right direction. But for the most part, gyms in the ghetto here in the United States, the high-risk neighborhoods of the United States, where we used to get some of the greatest fighters of all time. Of course, George Foreman, who we mentioned in that clip coming into this segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You know, he fought out of the Job Corps. That was out of Newark, California. Then he came to Newman's Gym in 1966, I believe, 1966, had about six or seven, maybe eight amateur fights. Then he went off to the Olympics, won the Olympic gold medal, then went on to become the heavyweight champion of the world, knocking out Joe Frazier in 1973. That was the 1968 Olympic gold medal. But, you know, George came from a rough neighborhood. He came from the 11th Ward down there in Houston, Texas. So he came from a rough neighborhood. The Job Corps was, you know, for hardcore kids, for kids that needed a chance to advance their education, to possibly get a vocation. I mean, they train you, the Job Corps trains you in different fields nowadays. But the bottom line is George got his break. I got my break because of the fact that Billy Newman didn't used to charge gym dues to us kids here in San Francisco. Okay. Initially, it was a boys' club, but, you know, I grew out of the boys' club and had to go down to the real boxing gym here in San Francisco. It was the oldest boxing gym in the world. I think it was in the world. I think it was almost in the Guinness Book of World Records. Somehow it wasn't preserved as a national landmark, which is a mind blower to me. In fact, Terrence Hallinan, the former district attorney, Terrence K.O. Hallinan, and I were discussing this the other day, and the fact that Newman's wasn't a national landmark, and he just shook his head because it was the oldest boxing gym by far in the United States, and it closed down in the 80s, and it was just a shame. It really was. I mean, it was a place where a couple hundred people would come together on a daily basis. People, you know, some people boxed, some people didn't. Some people trained, some people were railbirds. What I mean by railbirds is they sat in the stands and they watched the sparring going on, and they listened to the jargon going back and forth between the trainers and the fighters, and the sparring partners screaming at each other. And I mean, it was a scene. It was every day. It was a different scenario at Newman's Gym. But the fact was, it was a professional boxing gym, and it was free to me. And then when they finally did start charging me, it was $10 a month. $10 a month. We paid $10 a month. Okay? They're paying $100 a month nowadays. Now, I'm not trying to say that the gyms aren't worth that kind of money, because I know that, you know, overhead and insurance and things like that and buying new equipment and all that. Now, that's, you know, all that stuff is expensive. There's no question about it. But $100 a month for an at-risk kid, a youth here in the United States, is unheard of. It's impossible. It's impractical. And that's why the PAL, the Police Athletic League, and different organizations need to go back to the hood. Okay, they need to bring boxing back to the ghettos, because that's where a lot of good fighters came from. I mean, Muhammad Ali was not from the ghetto. He was from a middle-class family, the Clay family, in Louisville, Kentucky. So he never grew up poor or anything like that. But Joe Frazier grew up poor. Sonny Liston grew up poor. Sonny Liston went to the pen, of course, before becoming heavyweight champion. But a lot of guys grew up poor. They didn't have it. They were disadvantaged. Fighting raised them from the ghetto to world championship status, to having money in your pocket, to being able to buy groceries for your family. I mean, it's just, in today's world, especially if you look at the 2012 Olympics, I believe there's one guy left or something like that that's going to possibly medal. But the bottom line is, you know, the United States team sucked. There's just no doubt about it. They were ill-prepared. The coaching wasn't there. The administrative level wasn't there. You know, this is the same organization, USA Boxing, when we took them to court in the early 1990s here in San Francisco. The treasurer of the Northern California USA Boxing sect, or whatever they call themselves, units, the late Fran Jones, went on the witness stand and admitted writing $104,000 in checks in 1 year to cash, and couldn't document one of the checks. Okay? Of course, I think she was working hand-in-hand with the then-president, Sonny Marson, who the attorney general here in California forced out of amateur boxing because of the fact that he had a sparkled past. And I don't mean that in a positive light, not whatsoever. But the bottom line is, amateur boxing, then it went, you know, then Dr. Robert Voy, he was in charge of USA Boxing. So Fran Jones goes and pleads on the witness stand that, you know, hey, I'm sorry. I spent this $104,000. I can't account for any of it. So what do? They promote her to number three in USA Boxing. They transfer her to Colorado Springs. She was sick at the time. God bless her. You know, she was a sick lady. but they transferred her to Colorado Springs. They made her number three in USA Boxing, the number three figure in USA Boxing, and she went on the stand and admitted she took $104,000 in cash. I can't believe it. My mind is blown. Absolutely blown. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. We're expecting Michael Speed Bisping in just a couple of minutes, folks, so stand by. The count will be here. The UFC count will be in the house. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are each and every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours, and then at 11 a.m. on Sundays for an hour right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The count is in the house. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and yes, I am the reigning, defending, often imitated but never duplicated heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves, coming to you on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
The IRS is one of the most powerful entities in America. They can contact your employer, embarrass you, and take a large part of your paycheck. Your personal bank accounts can be levied, and your life turned upside down. If you owe back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, Ameristar Tax Centers has a special free consultation just for you. With proven experience, our enrolled agents, previous IRS agents, know how to get you maximum results. Ameristar Tax Professionals are licensed to represent you before the IRS. We'll contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. Our customer service record is unmatched, and you'll appreciate our low fees. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help, and you'll discover your tax relief options on the first free call. Call 800-365-9864. 800-365-9864. Don't wait. Call 800-365-9864. 800-365-9864.
Jeff Mancini here, pro fisherman and inventor of Mighty Bite, the revolutionary 5 cents fishing system. Tired of not catching fish? Make magic memories this summer with your friends, family, and kids. Fishermen around the world are raving about Mighty Bite. What makes it so good? It looks so realistic. It's got a bite mark to give it wounded action. It has interchangeable swim fins, powerful scent sticks, a custom weighting system, and rattle chamber. No other lure has these features. If you fish, if you know someone that fishes, order Mighty Bite now and make this the best fishing season of your life. Use it for 90 days. If you don't catch more or bigger fish than ever before, return it for a full product refund. Call now and get the 100-piece kit for only $19.95 through this exclusive radio offer. Order Mighty Bite now.
Call 1-800-289-0979 or visit GetMBRadioLore1.com. That's 1-800-289-0979 or GetMBRadioLore1.com.
If you're looking for a better way to clean the air in your home or office, you need the all-new Ozone Light. It's as simple as changing your light bulbs. The Ozone Light looks like a normal spiral type of light bulb. It screws in most standard light sockets, but it's not a normal light bulb. It's coated with titanium dioxide. It's completely safe, but this unique coating kills most airborne bacteria, mold spores, and neutralizes odors. Just one light cleans the air in an entire room and lasts 8 times longer than the normal light bulb. If you have smokers, if you have allergies, if you have pet odors, mold, or mildew, you need the Ozone Light. It will wipe them out, and you have our word. If you're not satisfied with the way the Ozone Light cleans the air in your home, simply return it for a full refund.
Call 1-800-380-4259, 1-800-380-4259, 1-800-380-4259, or visit airtimestore.com, airtimestore.com.
On schedule for 5 for the Strikeforce World Welterweight title. Nick Diaz, the champion in white and black. Daly, the challenger in blue. Great body work by Diaz. Oh, a beautiful uppercut. Looping right hand. Daly falling into trouble. 11 seconds. Diaz going in for the KO. And it's over. Diaz has made history. Nick Diaz finishing Daly.
The horn arms of the mighty Tower of Power. They were in Vallejo, California Friday night, and although it was freezing, Larry Braggs, my buddy, the lead singer, said, "Damn, it's cold. It's supposed to be August, summertime." It was freezing, but we had a great time, and the Tower of Power was kicking on all 10 cylinders. Congrats to Emilio Castillo and the entire crew. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of mixed martial arts. My next guest, if you're a UFC fan, needs no introduction, folks. They call him the Count. His name is Michael Bisping, and we'll welcome him to the show for the very first time. Mike, welcome to the show, sir.
Yep, what's up, man?
Not much, man. How's life treating you?
Treating me good. As long as you introduce me correctly, Michael Bisping, it's not Bisping.
You know what? Us Americans have problems with that. So
do
come
your
on.
Homework, bro.
Give us Yanks a bit of a break here, okay? Good enough. How about if I just call you Mike?
Yeah, that works. That's fine.
Okay. Were you surprised last night that Mauricio Shogun Rua was able to beat up Brandon Vera the way he was at TKO in 4?
You know what? Listen, Brandon Vera is an incredible fighter. You know, he's had mixed form lately. He's been up and down. But I know that Brandon, you know, if he fought to his full potential, had the ability to win that fight. And so it was no surprise that he made it hard work for Shogun. But, you know, Shogun's a warrior, man. He's one of the best out there. And he did what he did. You know, he took him out in the fourth round, and fair play, well done. But I thought Brandon Vera did a great job.
You know, I saw Rua's last fight, and to me it was one of those fights with Dan Henderson down there in San Jose, California, that I had to turn my face away from the cage in the fifth round. It was so brutal. It was probably one of the most brutal fights I've ever seen in UFC history, and it will go down as one of the greatest fights in UFC history, right?
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. That was an incredible fight. I watched that round at a friend of mine's house. We were having a barbecue, and there must have been 30, 40 people there, and everyone was just, you know, on the edge of the seat, completely gripped by that fight. It was incredible. You know, and last night, watching the Brandon Vera fight, I realized, you know, when they introduced him, I saw that Shogun was 30 years old. I couldn't believe it, you know, because it seems like Shogun's been around forever, and the amount of wars he's been in, and for being so young, it's incredible.
Okay. Now, you're 22-4, 14 KOs. Before we get into the UFC and things like that, do you have any upcoming fights on the agenda?
Absolutely, yeah. I've got a big fight on my hands. I'm fighting Brian Stan, September 22nd in Toronto, Canada, available on pay-per-view. It's the main event is Demetrius Johnson versus Joseph Benavidez for the flyweight title. My fight with Brian Stan is the co-main event. A lot of title implications on the line. I believe if I do a good job on Brian Stan and beat him, I get a number one contender. Brian Stan's in a similar position as well, so there's a lot on the line in this fight. He's a hard, explosive striker, but I've been in there with those types of guys, and I'm looking to go in there, and I'm gonna punish him from the opening second and put him away. So September 22nd, live on pay-per-view. Check it out.
Okay. If I called you cocky, would that be fair, or should I just call you confident?
Yeah, you know, listen, I have my cocky moments, but yeah, I'm a confident guy. You know, a lot of what I say, I'm just having fun. But yeah, you call me cocky, that's fine. Okay. I certainly wouldn't be offended.
Okay, in the UK, is the Ultimate Fighting Championships, are they as hot in the UK as they are here in the United States?
It's not on the level it is in the States. It's growing all the time, and since the UFC opened its office in 2006 or 2005, you know, it's been steadily growing its fan base. It's certainly a lot more respected now in the UK than what it used to be. Has it reached a level that it has in the US? No, it hasn't, but we'll get there eventually. The UFC, you know, it's an incredible sporting event, and the more and more people watch it, the more and more people regularly tune in, so we'll get there eventually.
Now, Mike, what cracks me up is that boxing's doing terrible here in the United States. I mean, we couldn't even get a guy. I think there's maybe one guy left in the Olympics. He might get a medal, but the bottom line is, the entire Olympic team just sucked. They couldn't lick a stamp if you wet their tongue, okay? But yet over in the UK, boxing is heavy. I mean, everybody wants to watch fights. I mean, you watch Sports Nation, Fox Nation, Sky TV. There's all kinds of different cable entities over there that are showing boxing almost 24/7. Boxing is the rage in England, but it's sucking here in the United States. Do you have any reasons why that's the case?
I don't actually, you know. I mean, boxing's got a very, very rich history in England. It's been around a long, long time, obviously. And you know, the English people, they love a good fight. The UFC, you know, he's doing very well in the US. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't see why it would be, though. A fight fan is a fight fan. A fight fan likes to watch a good fight, whether it's whether you got MMA gloves on or you got boxing gloves on. If it's a good fight, it's a good fight, you know. So I'm not sure. I don't have the answer to that question, I'm afraid.
You know what's funny is that with the MMA gloves and 4-ounce gloves, you get less concussions. You get 2.1% concussions from 2001 to 2006, at least according to the Nevada State Athletic Commission,
yes,
compared to 20% in boxing, and they will use these big, fat gloves. Can you tell me why? Does that register with you? You would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you would. You'd think because of the smaller gloves in MMA that you're going to get more damage. But the thing is, you know, if you take a good shot with the small gloves on, a lot of the time, you know, you're going to go to the ground because, you know, obviously there's not as much cushioning there. So you fall to the ground and then your opponent can follow you down there as well. You know, so your opponent in the UFC will come down on top of you, continue to rain blows on you, and the referee might look at it and think, nah, this guy's had enough, and stop the fight. Whereas in boxing, you know, and not to mention in the UFC as well, you know, you can punch, kick, knee, elbow, go for submissions and takedowns, all the rest of it. In boxing, you're looking, and by the way, I'm not knocking boxing, I'm a big, huge fan, but I'm just answering your question. In boxing, you got punches to the body or punches to the head, you know, and, you know, the head, I'd say, is favoured a lot more than the body. They're easier to land. So, you know, you get punched to the head several times. Say you land a big one and you get dropped. The referee steps in and gives you a 10 count or whatever it is, and you get back to your feet. Your opponent can't follow you down. So you get back to your feet and you start all over again. And if the fight was to go the distance, the boxer might have been pushed in the head, you know, a couple of thousand times or certainly several hundred times, you know, whereas in MMA, you know, those big clinches, I'm not saying that we don't go the distance and we don't get punched in the head a lot, but I think generally the ratio is we get punched in the head a lot less and therefore it results in less concussions.
Here you go, folks. Michael
safety record.
Michael Bisping laying it out there telling us why there are less concussions in MMA when you would think it would be the opposite with these 4-ounce gloves, but it's not. I think the sustained repetitive concussion syndrome that occurs in boxing occurs far often in boxing because of the fact that when a guy does get dropped and he does lose his senses just for a second, like Amir Khan did a few weeks ago. I mean, he was out when he hit the canvas. His head bounced twice on the canvas, basically woke him up. So he was concussed at that point. So he already had a concussion. He already had a potential brain bleed going on right then and there. Then he got up and he took some more punishment. He got knocked down twice in the next round and the fight was stopped. So in my opinion, once a guy goes down and he's concussed and if his head bounces against the canvas or his eyes are closed on the way down, Mike, that should be it. Fight's over.
Yeah, well, possibly, you know, I mean, and there lies the big question, you know, because, I mean, I watched that fight and I thought Amir Khan showed a hell of a lot of heart and I was very proud of him, but he looked fantastic in the fight, but he took a big shot, he got dropped, and you're right, and after that, he didn't look the same, and, you know, you can look into the guy's eyes and you can see that he was wobbled and all the rest of it, and he carried on, he pushed on, and it goes back to what I was saying before about, you know, how it's dangerous. Now, you say, the fight should have been done right there. If you'd have asked Amir Khan after that first drop, you know, first time he got dropped, he'd have argued with you all day long and said, "No, I'm good to fight," you know.
But Mike, he argued all the way until the end. It doesn't matter how much a fighter argues; we're talking about the fighter's safety.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. But those are the rules of boxing. Those are the rules of boxing. You get dropped, you get back up. You know, you got 10 seconds to get up and show that you're willing to carry on. And he did that. Listen, I didn't write the rules for boxing. I'm not a boxing commissioner. I don't work for the Athletic Commission. You know, I could say I agree with you, you know, but you're arguing with the wrong person, buddy. I did not invent the sport of boxing.
Good enough. We're talking with Michael Bisping, folks. Of course, he is the USC contender, 185 pounds. That's the middleweight division. So Anderson Silva is like he. You see him in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Anderson Silva is the champ. He's the man, and he's definitely the man to beat. But I want to fight that guy. And fingers crossed, I get my job done. And my next fight, September 22nd in Toronto, against Brian Stann. Then I get a shot. But right now, if I'm honest, all my thoughts and attention are going towards Brian Stann. It's a big fight. He hits hard. He's got a good record. He's a big name. And I'd be a fool to look past him and be thinking about Anderson Silva. All I'm thinking about right now is Brian Stann. I'm watching his fight tapes. I'm getting people to emulate his style in training. Everything I'm doing, everything I eat, my sleeping patterns, everything is going towards Brian Stann, September 22nd, in Toronto, live on pay-per-view, to ensure that I kick his ass and get the job done. Once I do that, then I'll start thinking about Anderson Silva.
All right, hold on for 1 second. We're talking with Michael Bisping, folks. Of course, he is the UK middleweight contender of the UFC. He's probably ranked in the top five. Now he's going for a top ranking. He wants to fight Anderson Silva. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about his future. We'll talk about the fact that UFC was on Fox last night, did a good show, did according to my numbers, 2.4 million homes. That's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. We're doing the Twitter thing, twitter.com, using the # Ring Talk.
Hey, guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything you wanted, anytime? Wish you could relive your glory days and have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with ProGene Daily Complex.
This is Dr. Todd Karen from the American Academy of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. Testosterone levels decrease in men after the age of 20. It's a major cause of the aging process. The effects include lack of energy, decrease in muscle mass, increasing belly fat, and decreased sexual performance, all of which impact self-esteem, confidence, and most importantly, overall quality of life.
Kick your drive back into high gear with ProGene. Call 800-980-1765 today to get a full month absolutely free. No injections, no prescription needed. ProGene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Claim your free month supply now by calling 800-980-1765. That's 800-980-1765. Again, 800-980-1765. Shipping and processing fees apply.
Stay tuned for a $1 million dream body announcement.
Do you want to lose weight? How about toning and sculpting your entire body in just 6 to 8 minutes a day? You've seen it on TV with Chuck Norris and Christy Brinkley. They love the Total Gym. Well, we're out to prove once and for all that the Total Gym melts off the pounds better than anything else on the market in just 6 to 8 minutes a day. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let up to 1 million people from across the nation try the Total Gym for just $1. If you call right now, 1-800-852-1859. That's right. The first callers right now from this station get to try the famous Total Gym for 30 days for just $1. The Total Gym will have you in the best shape of your life in just 6 to 8 minutes a day. Whether you want to firm and slenderize or build and sculpt your body, the Total Gym is the one machine that does it all. The first 50 callers from this station right now can try Total Gym for just $1, and shipping is free. Call now, 1-800-852-1859. That's 1-800-852-1859. 1-800-852-1859.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Stand-up battle so far. Man, you're right, Joe. Mike Brown's just so tight with his strike. Oh, yeah! Gambarian looking to finish. Oh! And it is all over. Outstanding.
The late fat man himself, Biggie Smalls, bringing us back from the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. Christopher Wallace, I think, was his real name. You tuned to the Insider's Look into the World of Mixed Martial Arts and Boxing. We're talking MMA right now with Michael Gavin Joseph Bisping. He was born in 1979. He's 33 years old. Were you surprised I got that name right? Did I get it right that time?
You got it. You nailed it.
Okay, I nailed it. That's good. I like that. I nailed it. So you were born in Cyprus, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I was born on a UK military base in Cyprus. My dad was serving in the army. Lived there till about 2 years old, and then we went back to the UK. So even though I was born in Cyprus, it was technically British soil, so I'm English.
Okay, so, but you don't hold dual citizenship with Cyprus?
No, I don't. No, that would be nice, but unfortunately, no.
Okay. When you won the Ultimate Fighter, it used to be, it was taped back then. This year they went to a live, now they're going back to a taped format. Do you think it was, what format do you prefer, the live or the taped?
Well, you know, I mean, I can see advantages to both. Being live, obviously, you know, has that live element to it, and it's always exciting. But I think the taped format, you know, probably works better and in the long run was probably more successful. So I think they're doing the right thing going back to that, you know. I mean, if it's taped, you know, they can edit it better. They've got more time to edit it and make it a better, fun program to watch. So I'd probably say the taped version.
Okay. Now, was it hard for you to be quiet and not tell anybody that you were in the finals for like 2 months or 3 months, or however long you had to do it? You had to, like, did they make you sign a secrecy contract or something?
Yeah, absolutely right. You sign a document. I can't remember how much it is, but it's a lot of money. It's a large amount of money that you could potentially be sued for. So, and you know, for me, it wasn't too much of a big deal. I went on the Ultimate Fighter for one reason only, and that was to win the whole show. And we did the initial phase, you know, in the house. And I won my fight from there, and I had to go home and train and get ready for the final. And for me, I hadn't achieved what I'd set out to do yet. I was almost there, but I hadn't achieved it. And the final goal was to go away, train, get ready, and win the final. And I told, you know, obviously my immediate family, but obviously they were under strict instructions to keep it quiet. And then obviously my trainers, and that was it, you know. And I just kept my nose down. And kept in the gym, worked hard, went out there, got the job done, and, you know, I've achieved what I wanted. So was it hard? Listen, yeah, you know, I mean, you're proud of what you've achieved, but as I said, the goal wasn't complete yet.
22-4, 14 KOs, 4 submissions, 4 decisions. What's your favorite move?
Favorite move, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I love knocking guys out. I love punching them in the face. My left head kick, I like to throw that a lot, so I'd probably go with that or a nice flying knee. Flying knee's always a good one. Always a crowd pleaser.
Okay. Leona Machida was the winner last night, beating up on Ryan Bader. It was a KO at 132, a round number 2. Machida was a favorite going in there, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think just stylistically on paper, that was a terrible matchup for Bader. Don't get me wrong, Bader, you know, he's hell of an athlete and a fighter, but I just think his style really played into Machida's hands. Bader, to win that fight, would have to take him down to the ground. And with Machida's footwork and the way he moves, that was never going to happen. That was never going to happen. And with the speed and accuracy of Machida's striking, it just meant Machida would be able to pick him apart all night long, not get taken down. And obviously, as we all saw, who watched the fight, he knocked him out in the second round with a beautiful right hand. And that right hand came, sorry, that came because Ryan Bader was getting frustrated. There wasn't a lot else he could do. He was just being picked apart. He was getting kicked in the body. He was getting kneed. Anytime he went near Machida, he was getting punched in the face, and he was starting to get frustrated because he couldn't, you know, he couldn't get his own game off. He couldn't take him down. So he didn't have much else to go for apart from trying to rush the guy. But that was, you know, complete frustration that caused him to do that. And he rushed him, and Machida landed a beautiful short little right hand and knocked him out. And it was beautiful. But that was just a bad matchup for Ryan Bader.
Okay, so how did Michael Gavin Joseph Bisping end up being called to count?
It's a long story, but to recap it really fast, if you go back to the Middle Ages, around the 13th, 14th century, my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad, whatever he would have been back then, was part of an elite group of soldiers called the Bishop's Pings, which actually over years developed into Bisping. And for his part in a war, was named a count and given a lot of land. And then from then on, the family did really, really well and lived as a Polish aristocracy. And until World War II happened and the Germans invaded and took everything, and I grew up on a council estate in England, broke as. So thank you, World War II, for that. But, hey, you know. So there you go. There's the story.
All right. good enough. Now, Junior Dos Santos is going to rematch Cain Velasquez. Of course, they fought once for the heavyweight championship last November and ended in 1:04. Both guys entered the fight hurt. Santos had a broken foot. Cain Velasquez had a hurt shoulder and a bad knee. Now, they're both going to go into this next fight, supposedly 100%, and it'll take place in either December or January. I don't think they've got it actually figured out yet. Maybe as late as February of 2013. Who wins that, Mike, and why?
Well, first off, you know, I mean, we're saying they're both going to go into the fight 100%, and that's always the plan, of course. But the training camps are so hard, you know, I would guess that not many people go in 100%. But let's assume they do. Who wins that fight? I mean, the first fight, Cain Velasquez was... he was very hesitant, and you know, he didn't shoot. You know, he was hesitant for some reason. Dos Santos landed a big right hand and put him away nice and early. Now the fight was too. It wasn't like Cain Velasquez got outclassed or anything like that. He simply got caught with a big punch and went down. Now in his last fight, Cain Velasquez looked like an absolute monster. He went out there, he destroyed Antonio da Silva, and I know that guy, Antonio Silva. I used to train with him in England years ago, and he's an absolute beast, and Cain Velasquez made him look like nothing. He just went straight through him. So I think Cain was obviously very, very hungry, wants to get his belt back. He made a big statement in his last fight, and I think in the rematch, I think Junior Dos Santos is definitely going to have his hands full and have more of a challenge on his plate. But I think Dos Santos gets the job done for me.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Junior Dos Santos. I think Dos Santos has shown great takedown defense. Shane Carwin couldn't get him down, but... Dos Santos actually took Shane Carwin down when they fought. So I think in this fight, you know, Cain's going to make it a much harder fight for him. I would imagine it's probably going to go the distance. Cain probably will get him down at times. He will land some of his own shots as well. But I think if Junior Dos Santos uses his range, his reach, keeps on the outside, keeps Cain on the end of his punches using crisp 1-2 combinations, I think he could win like that. But that said, we're talking about two of the world's best. The two best heavyweights in the UFC both hit ridiculously hard. So, you know, I mean, they've both got the ability to knock anybody out in one punch. So it's going to be a hell of a fight. I was there live last time, front row, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm there live this time as well.
Michael Bisping's our guest, folks. And, of course, UFC 150 coming up next Saturday, August 11th. Benson Henderson in a rematch with Frankie Edgar, 15-2 is Henderson, 14-2 is Frankie Edgar. Shouldn't Frankie Edgar be fighting at 145 and not 155? He looks like an awfully small guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, but could he make 145? I'm sure he could, because he, you know, as you say, he's kind of undersized. But thing is, he's choosing to fight at 155, and until very recently, he was the champ at 155 and was defending the belt very successfully. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say to somebody who's the champion, who's defended the belt several times, you're in the wrong weight class. Because, you know, it looks to him like he's in the right weight class. Now, he got beat against Benson Henderson. It was a real close fight. I'm glad I wasn't a judge for that fight. And he's been given a rematch. And I think rightly so he was given a rematch because it was close. And we'll see. I mean, if he gets beat again, maybe, you know, 145 is an option. But Frankie Edgar, you know, he's no joke. So he's going to come in and, you know, he could possibly win that fight. And if he wins the belt and he's the champ again at 155, then why should he drop down to 145?
I feel you, because I know dropping weight was terrible. I used to make 139 as a junior welterweight boxer here in the country, in the USA. And when I got to 141, I was fine. But for those last 2 pounds, it was hell.
Yeah, oh, no, of course. Yeah, I mean, I cut quite a bit of weight to make 185, and if I cut down from, if I start about 197, 198, it comes pretty easily. When I fought Jason Miller last December, I'd let myself get a little bit heavy, and I had to cut down from 202 pounds. So the first 12 pounds or so is easy, but then after that, those last few pounds, man, it's hell to get out of your body, and it wasn't easy. So yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay, now you want to fight Anderson Silva, the reigning middleweight champion. I think he's got 10 successful title defenses now. What are his weaknesses? Is it age? Is age finally starting to catch up with him? I mean, what are his weaknesses?
Well, listen, you can't really stand here and say what his weaknesses are because he's been around so long and been so successful and so dominant. It would be, it would be foolish to say, and it would be very unconvincing of me to start listing weaknesses. But listen, everybody gets beat sometimes. He looks human in his fight. He doesn't look, Chael Sonnen made him look human. It's not like he hasn't been beaten before. He does get hit now and again, and I can't talk about his weaknesses. I can talk about my strengths, and I believe I can go in there and I can mix it up. Chael Sonnen is predominantly a wrestler. He went out there, he out wrestled Anderson Silva, but then, in the second round, he wasn't sure whether he was on Dancing with the Stars or in the UFC. He decided to do a spinning back fist and fell over, and he's not an elite level striker. Chael Sonnen shouldn't be throwing spinning back fists at Anderson Silva. That's a bad recipe all day. But what I can go in there, I can go in there and I can mix it up a lot better than Chael Sonnen did. I'm not the wrestler Chael Sonnen is, but I'm a damn sight better wrestler. I'm a better wrestler than Anderson, and I'm a better striker than Chael. So I think ultimately I give him a good matchup. I'm going to do a lot better than people I've done lately.
Some people are afraid to fight him down there in Brazil. Would you go down to Brazil and fight him? Would that be a problem?
Well, listen, I've been an international fighter my entire career, and, okay. Wherever the UFC say they want me to fight, I'll fight them there. Ideally, in a perfect world, I wouldn't fight them in Brazil, and that's not because of the hometown crowd or anything like that. I just heard that, certain things, dietary requirements and things like that, are a lot harder to find down in Brazil. I heard some of the fighters that went down there, they had some nightmares in terms of accommodation and eating correct, and a couple of them getting sick and things like that. So I wouldn't be too keen for those reasons. But, listen, if I was to defeat Brian Stann on September 22nd in Toronto, live on pay-per-view, check it out. It's going to be a great fight. If I get the job done there and they say you're fighting Anderson in Brazil, I'm on a plane to Brazil.
Okay, what do you weigh right now as we sit here?
Right now I'm 210 pounds.
210 pounds, so coming down for 210 is going to be a little bit of a bummer, huh?
Not really. I'm pretty comfortable with where I am. I fight at 185. I'll cut from about 198. I think around a pound and a half, a pound and three quarters a week, which is a very, very sustainable weight loss. If I was just to diet very, very well, that's not a bad amount of weight to lose per week. I'm going to be working out three times a day, five, six times a week, eating well, no fast food, no limited carbohydrates, obviously no alcohol or desserts and things like that. A pound and a half a week shouldn't be too hard.
He is the count. Michael Bisping, we want to thank you.
It will suck. I like to eat. So let's be honest. That is one of the hardest things. But, yeah, it's very attainable, sustainable. But, yeah, will it suck? Of course.
Well, Count, I want to thank you so much for spending a half hour with us today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. They told me, I already knew, I had seen your post-fight interviews and your pre-fight interviews, that you were a great guest, but you truly lived up to the billing. I thank you so much for your time, sir.
Oh, no, my pleasure. You did a great job, great interview. But I just want to say, everybody, again, September 22nd, live on pay-per-view, me versus Brian Stann. Two very exciting fighters. We're going to put on a hell of a show. Tune in, check it out, and thanks for the support. Cheers, guys.
He's one of the great promoters in the world of the UFC, and he promotes himself very well. I'm talking about Michael Bisping. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We'll wrap things up after the break.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a price war among the major term life carriers. Consider these possible rates. A man age 60, non-tobacco user, could obtain $250,000 of coverage for as little as $85 a month, and this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $250,000 and above. A man age 60, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $250,000 of coverage for as little as $135 a month, and this rate is fixed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. For new or replacement term life insurance, call the Term Lifeline now. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
How would you like free information to the secrets of growing your savings, protecting your assets, and making retirement a reality? The facts are, if you're tired of losing sleep and your hard-earned savings in paper-backed assets like stocks, then you should call for your free insider's guide to gold and silver investing with the Birch Gold Group. The free investor's kit will show you how gold and silver have outpaced the stock market 10 to 1 for the last 5 years. It will reveal how to invest wisely, what to look for, and which coins are right for you. Better yet, you can trust you'll be treated with honesty, courtesy, and respect, as the Birch Gold Group holds an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Discover why some experts think gold and silver prices can still double in price. Call for your free information now.
Call 800-994-3256. 800-994-3256. Call today. Your tomorrow may depend on it. 800-994-3256. 800-994-3256.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's recovering from an accident.
Lost and Lonely Boys, folks. Closing up here, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. The longest running fight show in history, 27 plus years. We welcome you to the Ring Talk family if you are joining us for the very first time today. And don't forget, we air on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. The shows air on podcast at ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. Well, it looks like the heavyweights, as far as the Americans, have a decent fighter in the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, Deontay Wilder, 24-0, 24 knockouts, the first round KO last night of Kirsten Warrior Manswell, 22-6, 17 KOs. It was Saturday night at the Mobile Civic Center in Mobile, Alabama. Mark Breland trains him. I want to give Mark some props there. Of course, he was the best welterweight in the history of amateur boxing, a gold medalist in the 84 games, I believe, but junior middleweight Dimitri Salida was also winner, 34-1-1, 18 KOs, beat up on veteran Roberto Valenzuela. I don't even know why they had this fight. 65-63-2, 54 KOs. I mean, who do you think is going to win that fight? The guy with one loss or the guy with 63 losses? That's what's wrong with boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Don't forget, the UFC goes down next Saturday. UFC, Ben Henderson, Frankie Edgar, the rematch will be on pay-per-view. There'll be a couple fights on Facebook. There'll be some fights on FX cable beforehand. Tune in to next week's show, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. We'll give you all the details. Until next week,